Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the final La Peña Flamenca de Portland of the season. On September 26th at the Steep and Thorny Way to Heaven, La Peña Flamenca de Portland presents Berto Boyd with Danielle Azcarate and Elena Villa. There will be two performances, one beginning at 7 p.m. and the other at 9:30 p.m. La Peña Flamenca is a not-for-profit cultural association that promotes flamenco performances in Portland. Again, that's La Peña Flamenca de Portland, Friday, September 26th at the Steep and Thorny Way to Heaven on Southeast 2nd Avenue between Madison and Hawthorne in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events. Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor The Ghosts of Tonkin on Saturday, September 27th at 7:30 p.m. This award-winning play dramatizes the behind-the-scenes story of how public officials brought about one of the most devastating chapters in the history of the United States, the Vietnam War, and of Oregon Senator Wayne Morse, one of only two congressmen to vote against the Tonkin Resolution. There will be a discussion following the play, moderated by KBOO's Joanne Hardesty, and includes playwright Steve Lyons and others. Again, that's The Ghosts of Tonkin, Saturday, September 27th at Lincoln Hall on the Portland State University campus, 1620 Southwest Park Avenue in Portland. More information on The Ghosts of Tonkin can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning, you're tuned to KBOO Portland, and the time is 9:01. You get ready for political perspectives. Here's our lineup for this morning on KBOO. First, we speak with Simon Tam of the Oregon Environmental Council and Sandy Polichuk of 350 PDX about the People's Climate March in Portland this Sunday, and also with Diane Hodiak, a co-organizer of the Central Oregon Climate March, also on Sunday. At 10 o'clock, hear Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. At 10:15, Flashpoints continues a multi-part investigative series on Lyme disease with an interview with Lyme activist and psychologist Dr. Jessica Bernstein. And War and More War, host Dennis Bernstein talks to media activist and anti-warrior Norman Solomon about war and whistleblowers. At 11 o'clock on The Food Show, Sam Fromarts, a writer and sometimes baker, talks about his book, In Search of the Perfect Loaf. We also talk with Lisa Migrant, the owner and culinary director at Raven and Rose, about using the whole plant. And we talk with Liz Crane, who recently released the second edition of the Food Lover's Guide to Portland. And we thank you once again, KBOO members, for your generous support. If you're not a KBOO member, you can become one today by going to kboo.fm and click where it says Donate Today. Thanks for doing that. We're going to get right to Kathleen with her guests in just a moment.
Good morning. This is Kathleen Stevenson for KBOO Political Perspectives. A huge historic People's Climate March is planned for New York City this Sunday, and local marches and rallies are happening all over the nation. With us today are three Oregonians involved in the local marches. In studio with me are Simon Tam of the Oregon Environmental Council. Welcome, Simon.
Thank you for having me.
And Sandy Polichuk, local activist with 350 PDX. Thank you for coming in, Sandy.
I'm very happy to be here.
And by phone, we're joined by Diane Hodiak. She is co-organizer of the Central Oregon Climate March. That's happening in Bend this Sunday, starting at 11:30 a.m. Diane, thanks for being with us.
Good morning, Kathleen. Thank you.
So the first question I would ask about this climate march, all these climate marches, is why now? And anyone of you who wants, Simon looks like
well,
he wants to take
sure. This particular event is to coincide with a gathering by the United Nations to discuss action on climate. And there was actually a challenge issued out a couple months ago by a climate scientist who basically said this is an opportunity to stand up for climate. And this is a chance to really take it seriously because you know, he argues that we really haven't. You know, we have a president that who obviously authorized and encouraged lower gas mileage standards. However, he also authorized drilling to the extent where we are going to be surpassing Saudi Arabia in terms of oil production. So he's really saying that we need to really demonstrate world leaders that they need to start leading and be held accountable.
Yes, that's right. Ban Ki-moon is urging leaders at all levels to come to the table on this because the United States has really been lagging behind other nations. Brazil and China, India, they're all ahead of us, and really it's only the fossil fuel industry that is keeping us behind here in the United States and their tremendous influence.
Sandy, did you want to add anything
to
that?
Yes, I do. You know, it's the UN, of course, is the most important thing for all the nations together. You know, we share this climate, we share this atmosphere, and it's wonderful if Oregon tries really hard. That's wonderful, but it's only going to work if everywhere does. So we all need to do it at every level where we have influence, and we need policy change. It's great when people recycle and use their bike instead of their car. That helps. But for real change, it's got to be on the policy level, and it's got to be international and every level below it. So that's why it's so exciting that this is happening in 1,500 cities on Sunday, and that it is global, and the people of the world are really going to come out and say, we want action now.
So let's talk about the specific events. Maybe for some context, let's talk about the New York event. What exactly is happening in New York, and are Portlanders there?
I'd like to talk about it because I'm leaving on Friday to be there. And I am so excited. I feel like I am going to something very historic. I was old enough, but I wasn't at Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream, but I'm sort of feeling like this is my chance to be at something that historic and to take part in it. And it's absolutely mammoth. I'm very impressed with how well it's organized. We've been assigned an area to meet in. It's Center Park West and 86th. But the march actually begins down at Columbus Circle, which I believe is 57th. So the city has put aside 26 blocks for us to gather in. That's how big this is going to be. Mm-hmm. It's very exciting.
Wow.
And there's things going on. There's things going on already, workshops and meetings and actions all week this week and going into next week. So it's more than just the march on Sunday.
Well, and I've seen video on Facebook and social media of the people on the train are composing songs, and there's just really a lot of excitement about this march. Even in my own town of Bend here, we're getting really a lot of people that are coming forward to want to participate in this march.
Diane, tell us about the march in Bend. What is happening there on Sunday?
Well, we've got a lot of our faith institutions, social justice organizations, some of our local businesses, and are all coming forward to support this. And we've got a lot of youth involved too, which is really nice to see, because it's really our youth that we're all going to be affected. We're being affected now, but it's everyone who comes after us that will really pay the price if we don't act on this now. And so this is why we felt it was really important, and I think other marches are following suit, to have our youth come forward and really speak on this.
Mm-hmm. Great. And the specifics of the march in Bend, it starts at what time?
It starts at 11:30, also the same day as the New York march, September 21. We're going to meet at Hum Kombucha at 1125 Northeast 2nd Street, and we'll walk through downtown Bend and end up at the Bend Education Center.
And have events and speakers there?
Yes, I will have drumming, bells, and, you know, we're going to have generally a good time.
Good. Simon, how about the Portland March? Tell us about what's happening.
Sure. So we're actually going to be meeting at 3 o'clock this Sunday at the Tomacall Park, right down at the waterfront, and it's going to begin with a rally. So we have quite an array of speakers. And what's I would say unprecedented about this particular event is that we have groups that traditionally aren't represented. So we have groups from labor, we have interfaith groups. There's a number of performers and speakers. For example, Tom Chamberlain, president of AFL-CIO, is there. And traditionally, union groups aren't present. And then we have a lot of representatives from various communities of color who traditionally haven't been at the table yet are the ones who are generally most affected by climate change. And after the rally, we're going to begin the march at 4:30.
I thought it was the other way around.
No.
It's been changed?
Correct.
Oh, dear. No one told me. I was out of town yesterday. So, and the world turns upside down.
Yeah, but if people gather at 3 o'clock right down at the waterfront, I think it'll be really easy to follow suit. They'll hear a lot of noise. They'll see a bunch of people, and it's going to be a wonderful time.
Mm-hmm. I'm speaking with Simon Tam of the Oregon Environmental Council, Sandy Polishuk of PDX.org, and Diane Hodiak, co-organizer of the Central Oregon Climate March. So let's talk a little bit about the issues involved. Diane, you living in Central Oregon, what are some of the aspects of what's happening in Central Oregon that pertain to the issue of climate change? What makes it real for people who live in Central Oregon?
Well, we're experiencing this probably to the greatest degree because of what the global scientists, the climate scientists, have said, that climate change is driving a pattern of extreme weather. And what this means, of course, is that we've always had drought and fire and flooding, but climate change is really driving an extreme pattern of those events. And one of those things is fire. And we've always had fire in Central Oregon, but the fire management experts that we've been communicating with are telling us that we're seeing hotter fires, bigger fires such as mega fires that are almost uncontrollable, that burn uncontrollably and consume resources. And then we're seeing fires in places like Astoria, too, that have never had fires before. So the cost of this, I understand that the state of Oregon has a $20 million insurance policy, but so far I understand that the Oregon Department of Forestry has already spent $33 million. So we're not done yet. So what happens is those monies come out of the forestry budget that go to other important programs.
Mm-hmm. And how about the issue of carbon reduction? The UN goal of reducing carbon by 40%, is that part of this discussion surrounding the march, all the marches? I don't know who would like to take that.
I don't know specifically. I haven't heard that. I mean, at 350, 350 stands for the parts per million of carbon that we need to keep it below in the atmosphere, and we're already up at 400. And nature has a way of removing some of that. But if we continue putting it in the way we are, that's not going to happen. We've been, ever since the Industrial Revolution, it's been creeping up, and it's no longer creeping. It's going faster than creeping nowadays as we use more and more. So the real issue is just it's fossil fuels. It's not just fossil fuels, and it's actually not just carbon, but fossil fuels is a biggie, and it's one of the ones that we can have more control over. And we have I'm part of the divestment movement within this movement, and the reason we're doing that is that we're trying to force the fossil fuel companies not to extract their reserves. They have five times more reserves, natural gas, coal, and oil, in the ground than we can afford to have them burn. So we need to persuade them to leave it there. And that's one of the biggest carbon reduction action items that we can do. So leaving it in the ground, I know that one of the big contingents at the march in New York is going to be divestment. There's going to be a ton of different contingents there, but that's it's using less, of course, switching to renewables, everything, you know, we need, what we really need, I went to a wonderful summit that the governor, the state treasurer put together in June. And one of the speakers said, we must switch everything to electricity, and then we have to switch all our electricity to renewables. And that would really do it. In terms of carbon reduction. And once we do that, the atmosphere can start going down to where we need it to be to have a safe, livable planet.
And I think kind of building on what Sandy's saying is that we need to have more than just goals. We need to have accountability. We need to hold polluters accountable and make them pay for the things that they're doing to the environment. And I think this march in particular is about saying, hey, we're demanding action, and it's probably going to come at many different levels. It might be putting a price on carbon. It's probably about reduction. It's about changing everyday habits, but it's got to come from a policy level. For example, next year in Oregon, we're going to be talking about the Clean Fuels Bill, and we want Oregon to continue supporting this so that people have alternative fuels, so that there's an incentive for both manufacturers as well as for people to consider other options. And so we're coming at this from many different angles. And I think that's the wonderful thing about this particular march, is that there's no set agenda as in, hey, we have to pass X law. We have people coming from all different groups who are just coming to say, this matters so much that we're willing to put aside some of our personal agendas so that we can see some broad actions taking place to address the issue of climate change.
Yes, and I also echo with Simon and Sally.
Sandy.
You know, this is not only an environmental issue. This is cutting across business as well as economies. And I think this is one of the things that we're finding is that even Fortune 500 companies are saving money. There's an article I read recently where Fortune 500 companies saved $1 billion last year converting to renewables. And also the Stern report, Nicholas Stern, who is an economist compared a huge mammoth study for Britain, has come out and said that fossil fuels, really, that companies need to, our American businesses or worldwide need to divest from fossil fuels, because it really gives a much more balanced and much more lucrative portfolio by including renewables.
Diane Hodiak, what is the conversation about this issue like in Central Oregon? Is there a kind of controversy still about this among people there? Are there people who oppose the movement to do the kind of things you're talking about?
Excellent question. I'm really glad you asked that. Well, we have a much more mixed political environment here. We have liberals as well as conservatives. And I think that, you know, there's more of a tendency to be, not to look forward to some of these new energy technologies that are really being put before us. And, you know, we're really going to need to do that. We're really going to need to not do business as usual, because it's just going to cost us really a lot of money. And we need to look at also not only changes of habits, but we need to look at who we're putting into our legislature, because, you know, it's good to be pro-business, but it's not good, and this follows, I think, from what Simon said, it's not good to be so pro-business that we're actually giving them the opportunity to ruin our environment, and really at this point with climate change, to ruin the lives of every American with the damages that are going to take place to climate if we don't act on it.
And have you found ways to talk to some of the people who oppose this there?
Well, yes. I mean, I think that we have begun conversations, and I think that you know, we did actually send out a government alert about the climate summit, and we're hoping to meet with our city council and our county commissioners as well. And we don't know where that's going to go, but certainly Eugene City Council just passed something, an ordinance that would reduce their carbon pollution by 50%. And we want to see that happen in Central Oregon. And quite frankly, I think there are a number of fossil fuel interests here that will oppose that. We have a number of legislators that you know, that are going to oppose that. But, you know, there are a number of people, too, in the legislature that are supportive of our efforts. So we're just hoping that, you know, we're gonna look to the people that voted for the Clean Fuels program and not against it. We're going to be looking to those people to support us in this as we go forward.
And how about you, Simon and Sandy? Anything that you want to say about the other, I mean, what comes after the march? What are the kind of other things that 350 PDX and the Oregon Environmental Council are working on related to climate change?
Well, as just a straight follow-up to not our ongoing work, but a straight follow-up to the march, we're going to have a gathering on October 12th where people can share their photos and their stories from New York and Portland. And, you know, if people come up from Eugene or Ashland or come over from Bend, that'd be great too. I, you know, not totally expecting that, but it's going to be at Peace House on October 12th. And, you know, we hope that'll also, there'll be a conversation about what do we do next at there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, OEC is going to be actively watching the clean fuels bill that's coming up. That's going to be up for discussion in February. But we're also kind of using this march as an opportunity to engage in deeper conversation. So I guess if you could say we're almost building a climate army. And kind of building on what Diane said, I think it's also important to realize, and something that the media really hasn't been reporting on, is that climate change is not a partisan issue. When you look at polls, people from both sides of the house realize that this is something that's affecting all of our communities, yet it keeps getting presented as such. And I think that's why this march in particular is really important, because we have people from all kinds of groups. I mean, faith groups even, who, you know, often get depicted as climate deniers. And they're saying, no, this matters to our communities. And so this is a really historic opportunity to take advantage of that, to say, hey, we have similar values at heart. So perhaps some of our approaches might be different, but let's actually take action on climate. Let's be vigilant about these bills that are coming out, and holding our elected officials accountable for actually leading us through this crisis.
Well, and Simon, you hit the nail right on the head, because it's not a conservative versus liberal issue, because what we've discovered is that the evangelicals and what people might often consider conservative, some of the faith institutions, are coming out and they want change on climate. They want it urgently. And, of course, the world of churches divested from fossil fuels. So that was a really great rallying point there.
Yeah, 350's mission is to help build the grassroots climate change movement. So this is an enormous opportunity, as Simon said, to get everybody involved. We need the organizations like OEC to be out there leading for the policy change on the legislative level, but we also need the grassroots there supporting them. So this is, we've been working in this wonderful coalition of groups putting on this march here in Portland. And my hope is that we will stay connected, and because that's what we really need. We need everybody working together.
And I wanted to mention that actually KBOO, here on KBOO, we are having a special program, a special day of programming on climate change and climate action. That's in 2 weeks from today. It's October 1st. It's going to be 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Special guest that day will be Naomi Klein, who will be here talking about her new book, This Changes Everything, Capitalism Versus the Climate. That's going to be at 1 o'clock that day. So just putting the word out there a little early that we are doing a special all-day programming that day on October 1st, 2 weeks from today.
That's terrific.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're very excited about that. So we just have maybe five or so minutes left. What do you think is important to say that we haven't covered, or things that you want to get across about the march and related issues?
Everybody who's listening needs to come out and be there. Bring your kids. Bring yourselves, bring your grandparents, your parents, your cousins, your friends, your coworkers. This is going to be a safe, It's permitted. It's going to be nonviolent. It's something everybody can come and enjoy, and it's going to be a beautiful day. So that's the most important thing at this moment is get there.
Yes, get there. And, you know, even if you cannot walk, just come and listen, because you will be supportive just by being there.
Okay, and Simon?
Oh, definitely. It's going to be a good time. And be sure to bike there, walk there, take the max.
Yes. So it's at Waterfront Park, just south of where the Hawthorne Bridge is. It's called the Hawthorne Bowl, where the rally's going to be. So just south of the Hawthorne Bridge. I know Waterfront Park is quite large, but it's this more southern part, and we just want to see everybody there. Bring your signs, bring your banners, bring your friends.
And Diane, again, the logistics of the march, the Central Oregon Climate March?
Well, we will meet at Hum Kombucha, and we'll have some of that wonderful Hum Kombucha and also some coffee for people, because ours starts at 11:30. And then we'll have our rallying speakers, our youth from Central Oregon. And we will do drumming, music, marching, and we'll go through downtown Bend and end up probably around 12:15, 12:30 at the Bend Education Center, where we will have more rallying, partying, and speakers.
Simon, anything you want to add about the Portland event?
Well, after the march, we're actually going to be collecting signatures from citizens who want to sign a declaration saying that, yes, I will, I want to take action on climate. They can sign up for action alerts so that when we know their important bills in contention, that they can contact their legislators. And it's really a great way to build off another declaration that was launched earlier this year, where businesses actually said that they wanted to take action on climate. See, a lot of times we depict businesses as being these corporate entities that don't care, but we actually had over 100 different businesses sign up saying, yes, it affects our business too. It's actually bad business to produce pollution, and that it's actually good for business when you take care of the communities around you. So this is a great way to demonstrate just an outcry from all sectors that the government traditionally doesn't recognize as being as environmentalists.
We have a petition campaign called the Oregon Climate Declaration, calling on the governor and the treasurer to divest the state's investments from fossil fuels, and to pass some kind of carbon pricing. And we have a few thousand signatures on that already, but we'll be passing out petitions at the rally so people can take one home and get their friends and coworkers to sign it. It's not a you know, legal initiative kind of petition. Anybody can sign it. You don't have to be a voter. You don't have to be 18. You don't have to be a citizen. You can just, as someone in Oregon, you can sign it, and you can get an opportunity to circulate it at the rally.
Well, and we will be doing the same in Bend, just so you know.
Great.
Okay. And for more information, if people miss something or they want to find out more information about your organizations or the march, what would you recommend?
There's an event page on Facebook. If you look up People's Climate March in Portland for the Portland event, it's got a robust wall of discussions and photos and information about the event. There's also a website that for the People's Climate March where you can find events all over the world as well.
And for Bend and Central Oregon, we have a blog site, which is carbonfreeoregon.wordpress.com.
And people can also go, there was a wonderful movie shown on the 7th, Disruption, that tells a lot about it's really broad. It has a lot of climate information, but it also shows people getting ready in New York for the New York March. It's very inspirational. I think it's just disruptionwatch.watch/watch.
Yes,
I'm not sure.
Yes, it's Watch Disruption. It's just the reverse. WatchDisruption.com.
Great. Thank you, Diane. And that's a really fun thing. You can also go to 350pdx.org. You can find a button there to register for the march. You can go to 350.org and find out a lot of information internationally about the march, too.
Yeah, and what's I think it's also important to realize that we have many, many groups involved with this, too. It's not just OEC. It's not just 350. Pretty much every environmental group in the area is involved because it's really important.
A lot of groups who've never signed on to a coalition like this before, environmental groups, so it's very exciting.
Yeah, so you have both the policy level groups like 350 and OEC, and you also have groups that are more activists like Rising Tide. So it's really great to see just such enthusiasm from all across and many people who are really saying this matters so much that we want to march together in solidarity.
Yeah, thousand
friends.
Well,
and what I'm really happy to see is that I think this is beginning to spur other activities already, and hopefully those will all be pointed in the right direction.
Okay. So I want to thank all of you. I want to thank Simon Tam of the Oregon Environmental Council for coming in. Thank you, Simon.
Thank you.
And Sandy Polishuk of 350PDX. Thank you.
A privilege to be here.
And also on the phone, Diane Hodiak, co-organizer of the Central Oregon Climate March. Thank you, Diane.
Thank you, Kathleen.
And this has been Political Perspectives. We are going to continue our morning programming with a related program today. It's an excerpt from Radio EcoShock with host Alex Smith. And he has a segment on how to cope with climate despair. And that is with UK psychotherapist and co-founder of Carbon Conversations, Rosemary Randall. So stay tuned for that. Thanks for listening. And if you missed any of this program, you can hear it later today at kboo.fm.
What if you woke up one morning and